Hello?
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 If you can hear this, it's not too late. I return to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel in pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
And there's a little bit of delay. I've got my, anyways. Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you live here now through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our Steely Dan. We will be your constants. I am Dez.
And I'm Scott.
And this is
Time Pop. Oh, good. It feels good.
Thank you to everyone who isn't listening. We'll get to the hiatus in a minute, but we've been on a hiatus and we're coming back. We're coming back with a vengeance. I'm coming back with an echo because my gosh darn Yeti worked great yesterday when I tested everything and now it won't work. So you're getting,
I love the gosh darn, by the way. Thanks for keeping it clean for our families at home.
I just want you to know, I just got a text from my wife. Oh my God.
She's watching or because she can hear you yelling.
I think she can hear me yelling. There's a little extra excitement in the room, as you can imagine.
And, We're live. Anything could happen.
What could happen, Scott?
I could say a four-letter word. I could vomit profusely. I could have an anxiety attack and spaz out. I could bleed out all my pores.
You could see this.
Live. This is happening live. Could we show the intro from Spaceballs? When is this happening? Wait, when did this happen? When is then happening? Now.
Then. Now is happening now.
Now
is
now.
This is now.
Here's my question. Is there a slight delay with how we're talking and how we're being seen?
Absolutely. Like
5 second delay?
Absolutely.
So, essentially, we are from the future.
That's true.
In the future.
All
right, folks. Let me tell you, 5 seconds from now, the weather's great. Everything's going fine. We're doing okay so far. We'll let you know if it changes.
Wait for it. Okay, here we go. I'm logging on to YouTube on my iPad just to make sure it's actually out there. People can see it. And so far, it's not working very well.
Okay, good to know. We have freedom to mess up. That feels nice. It feels nice. We could say whatever we want.
We do. And if you're listening to this then, no, later.
Earlier.
If you're listening to this in the future, we're still going to release. You don't have to be here live to see it. As with everything on the internet, it's going to live there forever. And this pause that I'm about ready to make will be cut out of the audio version. If you're live, you get to see all the pauses and you get to ask Scott questions while I'm fighting with my technology.
I love Ask Scott questions. Now, this can be time travel based, but really, I can give a dating advice. I wouldn't take my financial advice, but I could give it. I'm probably one of the later persons you'd want to ask.
Dating advice?
Oh.
I wouldn't take my financial
advice. Oh, it's me.
It's Scott.
It's me from the past. This is very exciting for a time traveler.
I had my right microphone working, I could just loop you forever, just saying time travel.
My theories, which we won't get into.
Yes.
If anyone's watching this live, fun contest. If you can tell me what my hat represents, give you a nice little shout out. It means you're a true time travel sci-fi nerd, and I got lots of love for you.
If you can guess what Scott's hat is about, he won't mention Interstellar at all this episode.
Oh, why? Why ruin? It's like my Duolingo streak, right? Why would I ruin that now? I'm like 300 episodes strong. I don't want to ruin my streak.
Let's before we get to what we're actually going to talk about, the elephant in the room. It's been a long, big pink elephant of a summer.
It's been a long, dirty, wrinkly, smelly elephant of a summer.
Oh,
we both had to wrestle. We wrestled these elephants and we've won.
I'm about ready to go for a TKO. I'm not going to knock this summer out, but I think if I keep fighting, I can get the TKO. I can win on points.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm going to do a signature move pretty soon.
Awesome.
And I'm going to tear its larynx out, show it to in the summer, and then throw it on the ground and step on it.
Roadhouse style.
Yeah.
Yeah, Scott's neck deep in school right now. I'm in a new studio, which you can't see because I'd show it to you, but along with my microphone, my other camera isn't working either. So we'll get to that later.
Doing great.
So we're doing this live thing for multiple reasons. One, I'm trying to get some hype into this podcast. We have some listeners.
Yeah, boy. Is that what you wanted?
That's right.
Desmond D.
Because I know people out there are screaming at their computers every time we talk about a movie. They're just driving or their computer, driving in their cars. Like, no. He didn't go there. He went there. That's not him. It's him. And now you can come here. I think it'll probably be 9-ish PST on Tuesdays. Every Tuesday will probably be a little bit difficult. But I think, because we usually record on Tuesdays anyways, even if we only release every other week, we record a lot of Tuesdays. So if this slot stays open school-wise and my schedule-wise, then, you know, we could be coming weekly fairly often.
So you're saying that if our slot stays open, we could be coming weekly? is that what I'm taking in? If my slot stays open, we both could be coming weekly.
Exactly.
I just want to make sure we're on the same page.
See, and that's the kind of stuff, you guys, I can't cut out anymore. That's just out there.
You shouldn't put me live. That's such a bad idea.
So wonderful. Today, live at 9:11 and 23 seconds PST, we're going to talk about the greatest hits. And this is great. I mean, this is talking about now. Like, this movie came out now. This is
when?
It hasn't even come out yet. So that's why no one's here listening to us, because they've never even heard of this movie. It doesn't even exist. The greatest.
It's new. And it's on the Hulu, my friends.
It is. Opening thoughts.
So this is a time. This is in the genre, my friends, of time travel rom-com. Here's the deal. I love music. I have loved music since I was very little. Mixtape master, listen to all kinds. I get nostalgic for music. I'm so passionate about music. And so there's been another one of these, I think, that we've seen, but like where music makes you time travel and how it ties together a relationship. I was excited for that. I liked the person who made this appreciates music. However, this felt a little bit like a light, not super thought out piece of fluff. I found myself a little disappointed in the simplicity of it. I found that I loved the music and the use of the music and the music direction almost more than the plot of the film. Granted, I am coming from a sci-fi nerd, time travel enthusiast mind. I want to understand the paradox and my brain to be stretched on how it works. And usually romantic rom-com time travels do not deliver that. Yeah, that's me. What about you?
Before we get to my thoughts, this was written and directed by Ned Benson, starring Lucy Boynton, who was one of the Barbies, apparently.
Oh, congrats.
I don't remember which one. Justin H. Min, David Koransweet, Austin Kroot, Retta, and then a bunch of other people. This movie...
By the way, Justin H. Min, also in Umbrella Academy, so two-time time traveler.
Who is? Oh, nice. Oh, another twofer.
Justin Min, the second new boyfriend is... Was it number five? The one that was originally dead, Ben, in the Umbrella Academy.
Oh, that's who he is. Okay. Because, of course, they've updated the IMDb to represent who he is now.
Yeah.
So if I would have looked at IMDb a couple years ago when the Umbrella Academy still didn't know who he was, then, but I didn't recognize whatever his name is now instead of number five. I was like,
Ben.
Okay. Yeah, I think. Very cool. 3 years ago, I loved this movie. It's new. It's interesting. I don't see a lot of the things coming. But like you said, in the vein of Mixtape, which we watched to talk about, I feel like this had a little bit of meat cute in it, which I think is just the rom-com element. We'll get to my final thoughts later. But my initial thought, it's so well made. yeah, it's an easily enjoyable movie.
Mm.
But 120 time travel flicks into this experiment left a little bit to be desired.
We're jaded now, right? You gotta impress us a little bit. You can't just like, oh, I found a device and I press it, I time travel. This happened. You gotta work for it.
I fall down a well, I get time travel abilities. I get kicked by a mule, I can't time travel anymore.
Right. Theoretically, the science of this is she got into a car accident, and since then, she can time travel.
The car accident that killed her boyfriend.
Right. Do you want to know how I think this film could be better, or is it too early to get into it?
We'll get there. you can bring it in sooner than later, but let's set the table first.
Oh, okay. Let's put out the forks.
One of the things I do like about this, again, since we're like, you know, this podcast exists in the heyday of time travel movies. Like, if not for the last 3 years of time travel releases, we're out of movies. This podcast, we're already on rewatch territory.
Yeah. Like, 1975 through 2000, you had like 7 films.
Exactly. All right, I'm going to unplug 2 things. Hopefully this will help my my connection's a little wonky. So I'm going to unplug a few things, see if I can get that power back into my internet.
Power! I need more power!
Which, oh, I forget the background has a problem with that too, so I might get rid of my background in a minute.
It's great. I'm feeling it.
People, if you're live, this is amazing theater we're doing right now. I know vocally, you're like, I don't give a shit what his background says. If you're here, it's like, wow, what's going to happen to his background?
Nobody knows. Anything can happen.
It's fantastic. So because we're in the heyday of time travel movies, this movie just starts. She's time traveling. It exists. We're all on board. Uh-huh. You know, yeah. There's no like, ooh, can she? Will she? How does she?
Yeah, there's no origin story.
Yeah.
It's just already happening.
She's time traveling. So we're going to get into this right away, actually. Sorry, I already put you off, and now I'm going to jump right into it. She's listening to songs in order to time travel.
Yeah.
It's the first time she heard the song with her boyfriend that it takes her to. I assume it's not the only time she's listened to these songs in her life with her boyfriend.
You're right. A time that she had listened to that song with her boyfriend. That's when...
The first time.
I think all the times.
Well...
It's always a song that she had heard with her boyfriend because she's into music. They listen to a lot. And so a lot of songs she shared with him.
But like I said, and there's a lot of songs she shared with him hundreds of times. So it takes her back to the first time they heard that song.
Yeah.
Now, does she only get one shot at each song?
No, they don't fully establish the rules. Theoretically, you shouldn't just get one shot, but they treat it that way, right? In the beginning, you see that she's got record crates and some are like tested and not tested. You also see a montage of all these different memories, which later on she goes to each of those memories, right? There's like the beach scene. There's the like playing games on like the floor of their room. There's them being at a concert. They set this like canvas of their important memories. It felt a little bit like Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind, right? In that sense. And then throughout the film, she listens to certain songs and goes back to certain memories. Every memory she tries to save him. It reminds me a little bit of Butterfly Effect in that sense too, right? It's like a little bit of Eternal Sunshine, a little bit of Butterfly Effect, a little bit of Mixtape, a little bit of Meet Cute.
Yeah, I don't see any Butterfly Effect until she enacts the ultimate.
The trying again to always save somebody, the concept of like try again, and that he only got one shot, although he shouldn't have, and she only seems to get one shot, which she shouldn't have.
Because if she goes back, because one of the early ones is her in the car driving, almost getting in the accident.
Yeah.
She could just go back to that 100 times. And like, even if she veers him off the road and just has a little fender bender with a parked car, that's better than getting crushed by a semi at the intersection.
Right.
So the fact that she doesn't
she
could have mastered that moment in time.
Yeah. Exactly. Instead of just requesting it.
Yeah.
It's funny. At the end, you know, I don't know if we're supposed to have the take, but there's a few times she's like, no, you got to do this. And he's like, what are you talking about? And then he's kind of like a jerkwad. Like, if your partner is that important and they're like, no, stop the car, really important, and you're not listening, you're a bit of an ass jerk. You're a bit of a buttwad. And maybe you're supposed to think that by the end.
Well, and now maybe this is where there is a bit of a consistent butterfly effect where she's been yammering in his life now that she keeps going back and yelling at him to do something different. Now it's a year later and he's like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, no, he said that to her. He's like, yeah, you're a time traveler. I know. She's always said that in their relationship. She's always been from the future coming back. Got a little bit of time traveler's wife in it. A little bit of time traveler's wife. This is quite a recipe.
A little bit.
A little bit. So, yeah, so, I mean, you're seeing her. By the way, Desmond, I assure you appreciated this, right? When, in the beginning, when she time travels and she sits in that chair and plays the record.
Yeah!
It's the classic Maxell shot. The classic, you wrote it? Oh, good, he did write it. Maxell pose. So, they have a shot of her, the record's playing, she's sitting in the chair. It's from the side angle of a person at a chair, just sitting, playing the music. And that's a classic Maxell ad image.
With big, beautiful speakers. Yeah.
It was Maxell, right?
Maybe
it was someone else. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, to those us, this person was written by a music enthusiast, and of that we appreciate. And the music is good musical choices. They had some, I'm a music nerd as well. There's some really interesting selections, like going with Roxy music. And then when they're doing karaoke, with karaoke, you normally do different jams or like funk or whatever. They went with I'm Not in Love by 10cc, which is this fucking obscure, lonely yacht rock song that they went with. I was an impressive. People don't know that song. Nobody knows who fucking 10cc is. That's the band who did it. And they went with that. So it's like a music lovers. And then this Roxy music song that they play throughout the film. And then they show Roxy music playing at the end, which is a little bit of like product placement on some level.
Scott.
Yeah.
What does 10cc represent?
Oh, isn't that like I mean, it's a syringe amount in a syringe of medication.
It's the average amount of ejaculate from a man's penis.
No.
That's what I was told. That could be.
Oh, that could, probably makes a lot of sense.
That could be heresy, but it seems like if you're going to do that name, why not it represent a specific substance as well?
Of course. Of course. This is in the late 70s, too. But like, all right. Sorry. Women or other men. Men, we're stupid. I'm sorry. Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
MCC, how many dick jokes can we sneak into our fucking band name? As men, we just can't get over our penises. I'm sorry. I don't know why. It's a thing. It's a toy. It's useful. And
it's because it's, we can't out, get over it. It's because it's just out there. There. It's out there. Women's organs are internal. They're internal creatures. Men's organs are out there. And we're just out there.
Oh, 10cc. And they're like a sensitive band. It's like a sensitive. What's, they're not like misogynistic jerkwad music.
What's their big like reggae hit? What's the,
oh,
the
yeah.
one that everybody knows?
It's got like a dreadlock thing. There's the
dreadlock reggae.
Do, yeah. There's the Things We Do for Love also, which is another song they have. The Things We Do for Love. But I'm Not in Love is like this really weird, like experimental music background, and it's trippy and psychedelic and sad and lonely. And that's their karaoke song. But again, they reference Steely Dan, Roxy music. This was made by like, this is music lovers, musicians, right?
And Steely, and this guy was the writer and director was born in 77. So he's a couple years, he's 2-3 years younger than Scott. He's sorry to put you on blast here, Scott. He's 1 year younger than me. And everything they represent is stuff that I got out of my dad's record crate.
Yeah.
So like this guy is not nostalgic about his life. He's already a nostalgic type of person that probably, you know, was the only one of his friends in the 90s that still had a record player and, you know, didn't like cars with all the fancy stuff in it. You know, all that stuff. Okay, hold on, Scott.
He said, yeah. Cool.
I heard a dark voice inside of me.
How are you playing?
Dreadlock Holiday. I probably just got our stream banned.
I mean, that song is very questionable by this band. That's a little bit of a cultural.
It's no snow. What was this?
Cultural appropriation 101. Snow.
Yeah, we were just listening to
Informer.
Yeah, I know that song is woo!
Dreadlock Holiday.
Dreadlock.
This Holiday. Band's all over the place, just like their 10cc's.
So the
music appreciation is there. I did read about him. He wrote the film because music made him so nostalgic, and he liked that way that music can take you back, and wanted to take that a step further.
And so, I can appreciate that he made his main character an audio snob. She was always fucking with people's equalizers and stuff to make sure.
Yeah.
Because she's apparently a studio. I look at it because I love sound. I love audio. I love recording music and all that stuff. I can't play an instrument to save my life. So, yeah. And she seems to be that kind of person. She loves listening to music and making it sound great. But she can't play a chord. So
yeah. Also can't sing super well, at least not in this.
Yeah.
maybe she toned it down a bit.
So she can, this time travel happens to her. Yeah. She can control it if she wants. She can play a song that she knows she heard with her boyfriend and go back there. But also, if she's just walks into a coffee shop and they're playing the wrong song, boom, she's gone.
And then it's essentially she has a seizure, I guess. She kind of, her body, she is time traveling, consciousness only to her past self. And it's only within the past like 4 to 6 years or something.
2 years. It's she has 2 years. She celebrates her boyfriend.
Because doesn't she show 2016, 17, 18, 19? She shows on the map all the way to 20.
Right. No, you're right. Her boyfriend's been dead for 2 years.
Okay. So she only time travels within 2 years. So she's going conscious wise. But when she goes, her present body collapses to the ground. There's seizures. So anyone around freaks out and she sustains injuries, right? So she walks around constantly with noise canceling headphones out because any song playing in the background will trigger this time travel and it's dangerous.
It's very dangerous. And so this question comes up a lot on this show. What happens when her consciousness leaves her past self?
Oh.
What does that person remember everything she did? Or is she in like a 3-minute coma or a 3-minute blackout while her
That's a great point.
That's over.
That was not covered. Because if she remembers that, that's going to fuck her up and that I will be time traveling one day and he'll die and she'll know that. If she doesn't know it, whoever embodied her in those few seconds or minutes, when he's reverting back to that, they have like no memory.
And also,
how did we get here? How did we walk? We were back there and I have no memory and we're here all of a sudden.
And she's doing it a lot. Like this is
in our strongest memories. Yeah.
This is a weekly occurrence in her past self that she's. Right. If you go back and imagine her living those 3 years, she's blacking out or being taken over or.
And as dating her, he's probably feeling like some days she's like really insistent on things. And some days she's just present. And like, it must feel weird to date that person.
If your girlfriend multiple times, like this is a thing she does. She runs over and unplugs stereos. Are you staying with this person? If you're just like, I don't know. Like once a week, she looks flustered and then she runs out. If we're at a party, if we're alone, if we're in the car, she just like they were like at a rave one time and she just yoinked the power cord out of the wall. This is not somebody I want to date.
She's got some things going on. she's got some red flags, which they discuss. So anyway, we see her attempting to try to rescue boyfriend. We see her trying to navigate her way through this world. She walks around with those noise canceling headphones. She goes to group therapy for people who have had someone die on them, right? She goes, what is that called? Bereavement counseling. She goes to group counseling for that. And the woman who runs it is like, dude, it's been 2 years, move on. She's got a best friend who is a DJ and he's like, it's been 2 years. But he's the only one that knows and believes her and gets it. And he's like, move on. That comes up a lot. He's like, I'm your last friend. Now it's getting annoying. She's kind of sad. She's obsessive. She has not worked in her career in music. She just tries to get records and go back to the past, keep saving him. That's all she does all the time. I don't know how she finances this without a job. She works at the library.
He has a job at the library where it's always
because it's quiet.
No one's going to be blasting music out. Right,
good. Thought out. I like it.
She is, and that's a big part of this movie. She has cultivated a life around her situation and a situation that she wants to continue in. She doesn't want to get out of this. She wants to live this life until she can save her boyfriend.
But one day, and you just know it, right? She's in the counseling group, and then a guy just like late, she's about to share her deepest emotion. This guy stumbled, oh, sorry. And he knocks down a chair, and you're like, okay, here's the love interest. Hello, welcome. Clearly, he's important.
And allowed, you know, his introduction is I'm going to interrupt your life.
Right?
Your comfort has now been upheaved.
Yeah.
Big time.
They talk after. Everything moves very fast in this film. You know, I talk about how in new films, you have to earn a relationship. You got to earn love. People don't just buy into it. I saw Rebel Without a Cause and she's like declaring love for this guy. They've hung out for like 2 hours. They haven't dated. They haven't kissed. They talk about their future marriage. Like it's time moved differently then, or, you know, your level expectation. These guys move pretty fast into like having feeling, you know, of just a few conversations, but whatever, there's interest. They banter. She mentions her friend is DJing. Oh, she drops these flyers. That's how. And he sees how I check. Oh yeah, my friend's DJing at a record store. And so later on, she's there at the record store and he comes by, and that's where we get to have the spark to start this relationship. They're playing an amazing song from Roxy Music. They both look for the record. There's only one. He grabs it like a dick. And instead of giving it to her, she's like, I can't believe you're doing this. He's like, I'll let you have custody of it. And they have some little cute battling banter. She hasn't felt anything for anyone in a while, and so she's kind of intrigued. And so they decide to have record, to share the record.
Share custody of the record.
Share custody, yeah.
And there, and the thing that makes the speediness of this relationship realistic is that they're both grieving in the same way, so they can both really understand each other. She's holding on to all these records to time travel with and hopefully get her boyfriend back. He's holding on to his parents' antique store because that's all of their shit that makes
right. They do establish that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Establish early on when we follow his life that he lives with his sister. They handle the shop. She thinks they should just sell so they can move on with their life. But he feels like it's carrying on their legacy. He seems to have given up on something. And yes, he's mourning his parents.
They both have. Yeah, he has his sister. She has the DJ friend that are kind of trying to push them.
That's it. Keeping it simple.
Very much so.
He has no one else. He has no one else. Great. Small cast. So eventually he contacts her and like they flirt really poorly. By the way, Des, I had one of the things where I was sure I knew what the plot was and I was incorrect. When they introduced him, he was so awkward with her. But the way he stumbled in and he instantly talked to her after, I was like, he is time traveling from the future about the relationship with her. She dies and he's trying to like fix things with her. Oh. Like the way he just kind of smiled, the way he said, isn't it interesting how music always takes you back? And I was like, oh, she's worried. He's her future. And like, he's coming back to like help with her. And I thought I was onto something. And I was not. And it was much simpler. I had two theories that I thought were really cool. One was that, which would have made this movie a lot more interesting, right?
Yeah.
If eventually, he's saying all these things and he knows things. And even when they said, haven't I met you before? I thought that was a hint. And then I was like, oh, cool. We're going to find out he's time traveling, trying to save her, blah, blah, blah. My other theory, which didn't happen, was like she got into a car accident. She got a head injury. That these time travels were for her going back in her own psyche and she needed to let go. She was going into her own memories and being there in the present. And eventually when she let go, she wouldn't do that. A little bit like butterfly effect. But like, you know, for me, I'm a psych student now these days. I would have found that so interesting and compelling. Or to play on the level where you're like 12 monkeys, where you're like, is it real or is it in her head? And we'll never know. I always like when they play with that. Is it psychological? Is it actually happening?
We call that the Slaughterhouse Five effect.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Thank you. You and I have so many movies to pull out of our arsenal of reference at this point.
I was talking to someone the other day. I was like, yeah, I have a time travel movie podcast. And they're like, huh. And they're like, do you have any recommendations? And I was like, I got 120 episodes. They're like, what? What? They're like,
oh, you want recommendations?
Yeah.
Watch our best time travel film, 0 through 30. I would start there.
That's what I did. I sent her that.
Yeah,
that episode. So
that's great.
So I had, it's funny, I forgot it as soon as I bought into it instantly after when I started watching the movie. But before I started watching it, I was like, is this even going to be time travel?
Like, oh yeah.
Oh fuck, this is not going to be real time travel. But that, like I said, it could have ended that way, but you know, yeah, I was bought in.
It could have
been. And then I did think that he was a time traveler, not from the future, though. That's a way better idea. That this is a domino effect of back travel. I figured he was going back because he just, yeah, there was just the thing he said, like, yeah, music really takes you back. It seemed more.
There were so many. When she asked him what he was mourning, he like paused and said something about his parents, and it seemed like a bullshit lie. The way he paused and like, there were so many things that seemed off. The way he was so nervous or enjoyed, he was just stared at her constantly and enjoyed their conversation. It was like he already knew, but no.
Yeah. Yeah. It was. So they, you know, it's a now we're into the rom part of the comedy. And, you know, they love being together, but she.
I mean, it happens fast. They've gone on like one or two dates And he's already like, I don't know, this is a lot for me. And it's already, I can't do this. And like, they've got a 2-date. We don't even know if it's a date. They could be friends. They haven't kissed. And there's already like, oh, but I'm really into him. And all that. Like, you haven't, nothing's happened. It's a 95 minute film. So
yeah,
things move fast, which I'm sure made Desmond very happy.
Very happy.
In a bow. Put it in a bow. Right. 1 hour, 30 minutes.
Sometimes I'm like, where am I going to fit this movie in? Like a 90 minute movie? It's like, I got it. Just throw
you
it
You know the way to Desmond's heart. It's with a 90 minute film.
Keep anything in the double digits. Just keep it under 100. You win. You're at least a 6. Yeah,
even if the movie is shit. He doesn't have time. He doesn't have time for you, Godfather 2.
That's our
time for you, Interstellar, Endgame. No.
If there's a cornerstone of the issues of Kelly and Maya's relationship is that she always wants to watch a show and keep it going and enjoy that story for night after night. I really just want to watch a movie and get to the credits before we go to bed.
Well, that's fair. Yeah, you just want to start it, end it, move on.
That's our therapy session. Movie or TV show.
So dating this woman is not ideal. She shows up with him. She's got sound canceling headphones. She runs away when like a thing, she actually gets triggered back and things happen. And he's like, what the F?
But they start
talking to her friend. Yeah.
They start having sex and the radio comes on and she basically, you know, goes into a coma.
Well, in the store, she goes to a coma and their first date in the bathroom. And then she like runs out and there's a lot of like, oh, I want to be with you. No, I don't. And him just like, okay. Eventually they get closer and closer. That's a pretty cute. Okay. In rom-com land, it's a pretty cute moment. You need that moment in the film where like, what a romantic, what a thoughtful person, they get me. He eventually, when he agrees to get her back, we're going out of the timeline here. He takes her to a surprise event. She doesn't know what it is. And it's a silent disco. So everyone's got headphones on. You can't hear. And it's a place where she can just be her and not be afraid. And that's the moment where she's like, I'm in.
Because everyone calls her headphones. That's her nickname. Like when she goes to work, what's up, headphones? When, you know, that's just her nickname because she's headphones. And so now she doesn't stand out for wearing headphones. She's just one of 80 people wearing
headphones. It's pretty cute. It's pretty cute.
Have you ever been to a silent disco?
I have.
I wish
they didn't feel more awkward to me, but they do.
Do they?
I mean, yeah.
Well, you're a talker.
There's
at a disco.
No, when I dance hard. But like, I think the problem is, I remember being with someone dancing and you can change. It's like 7 stations. And when they're not on your frequency, you can feel that. I've been there where there's multiple stations and people are not dancing in the same. I'm such a dancer and such a rhythm dude that they're not dancing in the same rhythm and there's a loss. If it was just one station and everyone's listening, but just silent with their headphones, I could be into that.
Totally.
But there's something about a club, the palpable rhythm that's shaking your body. Everyone's united in that. That gets lost a little bit.
Yeah, you don't get that subwoofer. Like that's even no matter how good your headphones on, you don't get a subwoofer. And that's a huge part of being at the club.
Yeah.
Because you know I'd be clubbing.
Oh, I know you'd be clubbing.
I'd be mad clubbing.
And I'll be your hype guy.
I'm living in Orinda now. It's just nonstop rage.
Before this scene, she's been fucking up all over the place. And eventually this new guy, she's kind of like, look, she breaks it down for him, the time travel stuff. And he's like, okay, you're crazy. I'm out. And so eventually she wants to prove it to him. She also realizes that she had actually, when he shows her parents' shop, that she'd been there before. That's where her boyfriend had bought this chair. And so he doesn't believe her. She decides she wants to prove to him she's a time traveler. So she's like, where could I hide something? And he's in this little like cabinet. And so she's going to travel back in time to that place. She's going to put a note in there and then he'll see it. And she's like, go hang out by there. I'm going to play this song on your record player. She remembers a song that they heard back then or whatever and time travels. She's back there with her boyfriend in the shop. She's like, don't buy this chair because that's going to be the thing. And he's just like, nah, you're full of it. Don't buy the chair. Buy it for me, baby.
So the accident happens on their drive back from getting the chair, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm assuming.
Yeah.
She sees the guy's parents who are still there in the shop, and she sees like a happy version of him going out. So at this point, she gets a piece of paper, she puts it in there, and it works. And this is where my heart sank a little bit, be like, oh, They're going to spell it out. She is time traveling magically off a headache. I mean, off a head injury. And now a little something was lost for me that she was able to prove it. And that it wasn't like, oh, is she or isn't she? That he, out of like faith or love, wouldn't just believe her or be like, either way, it's important to you. And so I'm in. Or that we don't know what's happening. So anyway, yeah, it became real time.
Grief does weird things. So I could see him thinking the whole time, like, you just think you're back there. It's just taking you to that special place.
Yeah.
You can't affect the past. So I have one thing to say to you, Scott. What's the word, hummingbird?
Oh, yes. Thank
so
you.
So why did you that lose you? Like you were hoping
because
to keep it
I wanted it. Well, I wanted him to be from the future and that thing.
Oh.
And then I wanted it to be, is she really time? Like, let's keep it where we never know if she is. It could be grief. It could be that she's going back in her mind, or it could be real. But eventually she takes him as a boyfriend. She lets go and everything moves forward. I wanted the possibility of that. So we found out it is time travel. He does believe her because it's real. He sees the note. And then he's like, he's charged up about his parents and she's asking about him saving her parents. And she's like, I can't. Every time I go back, I can't change anyone's thing. Which is, that's interesting, right? You can only change what you say, but you can't change other people. And so that's helpful to keep the timeline, you know, straightforward.
We don't see her. So one, before I let it slide by, he's really bummed when he realizes that she can't take him with. Because he's just like, take me, even if I can't change anything, take me back with you so I can just hug my mom one more time.
She didn't even try. She's like, no, I can't. Just hold his hand.
Yeah, wouldn't you at least like...
Give me a shot.
Yeah, have him hold you while you go back. Because now, is it only with her boyfriend? Because that's the other thing I kept thinking is that she was gonna start playing songs from when she met the new guy.
Ooh.
And I thought she was going to go back and sabotage the whole relationship. I thought she was going to go back to that Roxy song and just run out of the store or something like that.
Yeah.
But of course, this is a very specifically strange type of time travel.
Yeah. So this movie does, most time travel films have the moment where they break down how it works. They're like, oh, here's this. But they break the rule. But you can only go forward in time. You go in 5 seconds. You can only do it once. This film does not have that specifically. And it doesn't make sense a little bit. Like Desmond just said, she can only time travel back to her ex-boyfriend. Why is that? Why would a song not take her back to a memory of being 5 years old? Why is it only, if it's not grief, why, let's say she got in this car accident, it gave something in her mind, she could time travel. Why does her mind say only to the boyfriend? How about she hears a song when she was 6 and she's back in that?
And you know what would have helped that a little bit, I think, and tried to and kind of constrained it is vinyl only. Like why not? Because you see the needle glow several times. You see the needle.
Like that's the time travel machine.
Yeah. So
but it's not because she uses his record player at the shop too.
Well,
or songs in the street. So it's not
exactly,
like a record player.
Exactly. Radio station, CDs, karaoke, whatever. That would have been a good, like, because that would have shrunk her when she can go back. She couldn't go back to the beach because there's no record player on the beach. You know, she can only go back to when she and he. Now, and also too, why wouldn't it be a whole album? Like,
yes,
it's just a song, but if you sat with your boyfriend and listened to that whole half album, then why would,
So there's some loopholes. You got to, and like Desmond said earlier, can you only do it once? I think they are setting that up with the records that you can only do it once. They don't say it.
Yeah.
And apparently you can't take someone with you and you can't control it. So these are the rules, the science of
it. Well, you can control it. You can, if she yanks the cord when she's back, she comes home soon.
But I'm saying she can't control when a song first plays. That does not go there. And I think she, like you said, she goes to the first time she heard that song. But that means if she heard Beat It with her boyfriend by Michael Jackson, would she go back to that time? Or would she go back to when she was a kid and heard it or saw it on like MTV? And it seems like she only boyfriend time travels, which is weird.
And again, I think it's the first time she heard that song with her boyfriend.
With the boyfriend.
With the boyfriend. So
it's grief meets brain damage. But once she lets go of this grief or chains it with the boyfriend, then she doesn't time travel anymore. So it is real time travel, but it's grief based.
Yeah. Well, she can only travel back.
Anybody who lost somebody would also be able to time travel.
Well, it would be weird too, because
why is she the only one?
Let's say she's still connected to her boyfriend even after she goes all the way back and doesn't date him. Maybe she was at another concert with him and didn't know it. And in 40 years, she puts that record on and goes back to the Vans Warped Tour where he just happened to fucking be there.
Right.
Like, is she still...
Now, this, who's deciding this?
Now, this is what we should have seen. The accident, she gets her head injury from smacking into his head and killing him. Why not?
And she's connected only to her timeline with him.
Yeah. Now, the greatest time travel kick in this whole movie, Cars for Kids. I don't know how much sports radio you listen to, but my son can sing along with that song more than any other track on any of my playlists.
It's maybe the biggest or best earworm. Clearly not a great song, but its annoyance and getting stuck in your brain factor is the highest of any song ever made. They just fucking, and everyone knows that jingle. Nobody knows what the fucking nonprofit does. They don't give cars to children who can't. It's the dust, but they just nailed it with like an annoying jingle that like is so identifiable and so universal.
Well, and like I had to get rid of a car 10 years ago. There was no question who I was going to call because that number was burned into my brain. And
yeah.
I called Cars for Kids job. And they came and got my Volvo.
So it's in this film now. Again, she's been letting go of the boyfriend a little bit. She's getting into this guy. She's starting to see that maybe there is another future. And also, we're starting to realize, at least I felt this way, I'm not sure, that like the way this guy doesn't listen to her, she's kind of a jerkwad. Like, maybe he's not the best boyfriend that she's like dreamt up. Maybe like he was just okay.
He's handsome as hell. He is CW hot. And he's far from an asshole. Oh, and he's in a band that would probably suck even more if she wasn't doing his music.
Right. They established everyone is around the music industry. Now, they did say at some point we're supposed to figure out that the boyfriend had given up on his dreams and careers. He moved from the Bay Area, they said, because of the parent shop. He's like letting go of his dreams. They never say what his thing was, do they? It's always real vague. When she sees him in the store, he's going somewhere and he's going to come back and visit. She's like, you look so happy. But, you know, she gave up on her dream of being in the music industry, but they don't
he was going to college for some.
There's some dream.
There's something he was going to do besides run his parents' antique shop.
Yeah.
For sure.
Anyway, they have this kind of moment. She can't live like this anymore. And she figures if she goes back to like, she does go back, right? She did go back to her memory a second time because she goes back to the concert. That's so you can repeatedly go back. She goes back a second time to the concert when she first meets him, and she's going to make sure that they are never together because then the accident won't happen. She won't have this condition. So she's saying that'll help him live. That'll eliminate her condition. But then she won't have met even the current boyfriend because she won't be in the bereavement counseling. So she talks to him about it and they're like, yeah, but you know, you can't live like this. So they have a last moment. They decide she's going to do this. He also decides that they're going to sell the place. They're like, that's not the way to keep the parents alive. They've got to live for them. So he's reclaiming his dreams and all that.
And he vanishes even before she goes back in time. Like he's
which
already...
also doesn't make yeah, which also doesn't make sense.
Right. Yeah. That's definitely
there was a point in the film when she's looking at the all the like post-its that she set up and it just vanishes while she's just thinking of it. They didn't explain that.
Well,
either.
She took a bunch down before that.
Oh, they showed them but popping then, and whatever.
I know one thing I kept on every time it happened. I was like, wait, what? I think does she get skittish every time the vinyl cracks? Is that what makes her?
Yeah, that's cool. I like that. Yeah. When she's in one of these past time travels, she's flickering a little bit. And yeah, maybe that's either just to show us she's time traveling and be cool. Or maybe, like you said, the record kind of hits a bump. That's fun.
Why did we not get a skip? We didn't get one skip.
Right?
What a
skip gets caught in a time loop?
Oh.
Absolutely. I was like, oh no, I'm trapped forever.
He keeps on, the boyfriend keeps on jumping back 2 seconds. Yeah.
So she goes back to when they first met. She's supposed to join this guy like in a mosh pit, sort of. And she decides not to. And by doing that, he lives. She goes on, and you know, Ben, not Ben, whoever,
yeah,
his name is it's Kevin. He moves on in his world.
So, by the way, this whole time we have been talking about Harriet,
David,
Max, and Morris, and Edie is David's sister. So David and Edie are the brother and sister. Harriet and Max are the girl and the dead boyfriend, and then Morris is the DJ friend of Harriet.
Yeah, she goes on a weekend with the brother and sister, and they sing karaoke, and that's where the 10cc song comes in. For those of you that wanted to tie together our jizz joke from earlier. So she alters time. It is successful. Things disappear. So this is all really happening. And then we see her in the new current present. She's going to work. She works as a sound engineer. She's at, what was she at? Was she at a record shop or a DJ thing when she sees her boyfriend? Everyone bumps into each other.
Yeah, yeah. They were at a coffee shop, and her Max just kind of says, excuse me.
Yeah, he's got a new girlfriend. His dog's there.
Oh, that's right. So, she's got it. That's how we know that it worked. She gets a different, because she's, of course, keeping,
Max's old dog, but now she has a different dog.
Now she has a different dog, but Max walks by with his dog, right? Does he still have his dog?
And a new girlfriend, yeah.
Yeah.
And then later on, she's at the Roxy Music concert. Look at us tying everything together. And the song that we've been mentioning is such an awesome song all along. We have them performing live.
They wind up, I mean, if you're going to have product placement, it's better than being at a Pepsi factory.
It's better than Superman being thrown into a big Coke sign repeatedly.
It's better than Superman and Batman having their mothers with the same name. Why am I not going to kill you? Because your mom.
Martha!
So they end up standing next to each other while this song is playing, and they're kind of giving each other it's kind of cute.
And they're showing little like flashbacks, little memory flashbacks, and just enough that they're looking at each other like, huh.
Hmm.
And then it leaves us with that.
Oh.
One of the non-ending endings. One of the will they, won't they.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Scott.
Yeah. What?
They do.
Yeah. My guess is they do. They still find each other. So there you have it. I applaud the person's dedication to music and the nostalgia that we get from music. The scenes where like the music is supposed to give you emotions were handled expertly. And I'm a big fan of that, how music and movies combine to make these beautiful moments. There's moments where they're dancing at the club and the lens flare is happening off the lights and you feel like you're there. You feel like you're caught up in it, you know, and the songs were great choices. And like in the Roxy Music song they played, it's a dope song. And like music is important and they use it. And so I applaud that. I also read that like they wanted to pay an homage to like Los Angeles, and like he's kind of paying homage to like films from like Cameron Crowe, Richard Linklater, and they put Reality Bites in there. It was a surprising choice because that takes place in Texas, but
yeah,
rom-coms that he felt close to, little sites around LA.
I've driven by the Singles apartment complex dozens of times.
Just that film fucking holds up.
You guys, the fuck up. That courtyard in Singles is tiny. I don't know how he filmed that to look like a big, beautiful courtyard. You can reach across that courtyard and touch the person on the other apartment.
The way that we are making fun of how bands have to like talk about their dicks, they just went out and made fun of it. He's like, why'd you name your band Citizen Dick? And he's like, well, it's like I'm Dick and you could touch us.
Oh. All right, Scott.
I'm
going to hit you with one. I should have texted you this earlier so you could think about it.
Yeah.
If not an exact moment of time, what song can you not listen to without just being in middle school, or like it just no matter what, you're just like, oh, I'm that kid again.
Wow.
I'll set it off because I've had some time to think about it. Rob Bass and DJ Easy Rock, It Takes Two. That is junior high, period. We'll never be able to listen to that song without thinking about junior high and most likely at a dance. And then driving around in my Subaru, listening to Snoop Dogg, Doggy Style, that tape just looped in my Subaru for months.
Yeah. I Licensed to Ill, the full album, the cassette. I was in a camp and they did all these like trips and I had my Walkman and I just looped Run DMC, Raising Hell, also Beastie Boys, Licensed to Ill. Around that time that they toured together, I just fucking mashed through those albums over and over. I remember being with my friend in summer camp and trying to learn Paul Revere, and we'd play the tape. Okay, I got that line. I get the next one memorized. Okay, now I got to go like one line further to memorize. And we taught ourselves in that summer camp, Paul Revere, to remember the song. I remember having a moment of consciousness at a summer camp, Cruel Summer is playing in the background by Bananarama, and me just being like, I'm here in this moment. And I took that pause in that photo, and I go back to that sometimes. So What You Want is a big one for me, just playing basketball with my friends. So it's funny, for my class, my psych class, I have to bring lyrics from a song that was really important to my adolescence. So I've already been trying to wrestle with this, but I've been looking, some angsty stuff I used to listen to.
Will you perform all of Paul Revere in front of your class?
I'm trying to get deeper lyrics, like Creep by Radiohead felt meaningful to me at the time, and I'm looking at it like clearly I felt like a unrequited love outside freak of sorts, and so that was a big one.
I'll never forget listening to Sir Mix-a-Lot with my grandparents.
Wow.
They were so like, all right, what are you into? Let's throw your garbage on for a minute.
Billie Jean, I'm doing a dance routine in my room working on, when he says around and around, I'm spinning around and around. Remember the first time I heard Smells Like Teen Spirit in my friend's basement and it blew our fucking minds.
I remember So What You Want. Was it So What You Want? No, what's the Beastie Boys video where they're undercover agents or something?
Oh, Sabotage.
I remember that like release party. I remember having a group of people over and watching MTV at 7 p.m. when that, and it was like a 12-minute video or something when it first aired. And like that was like
it was a big deal.
That was
they were real peaking.
Yeah.
All right, I got another favorite one. I'm driving in I think I was leaving my mom's for college, or I was there for the summer and I was going back to college, and I'm on a train. I'm on an Amtrak train, listening to mixtapes. I had a friend who was a big music head like me and made a mixtape, and I was listening to it at just the right moment. It's two songs back to back. It was Us and Them from Pink Floyd. It's nighttime, and I'm just kind of being lulled into this, into Pictures of You from The Cure. I had not known either of these songs prior. And in that moment, everything was beautiful, and my life was ahead of me. And to this day, both of those songs take me back. They're both my favorite songs from each of those bands, because like I just remember that fucking feeling.
That's rad.
Yeah, music, I mean, we could do this all day. I've got a bunch.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, I'll save that for the very end. Let's see what other people think about it, and then we'll give our final thoughts. Some bad reviews. Stupid idea. Even the music wasn't good, which you'd expect from a movie about music connections. Waste of time. So predictable. It was embarrassing. Once she meets guy number two early on in the movie, you know how it's going to end. Save yourself from wasting 2 hours of your life and skip this one. You don't have to waste 2 hours of your life. You can watch this movie and then check out an episode of Seinfeld in 2 hours. It's great.
I found one. And this is legit. Greatest Hits is built around a genuinely interesting idea, but it's lost in a shallow treatment that's too often content to rely on sentimentality. Yeah, because I didn't buy into some of it. I didn't buy into the love of this new guy. Anyway, there's some critiques.
While the music time traveling concept was interesting, the lack of chemistry and lackluster script made the movie fall flat.
There's a go. I like this one. It's a love story. It's not meant to be logical. Good. Thanks at all. Still, such a premise lives or dies by its execution. And apart from the pretty pixie flares that swarm the screen every time Harriet is about to sonic zoom, The Greatest Hits feels like the remainder bin version of Better Love Stories. Way to be on brand.
It's quite well done. Has some nice music in it. Certainly watchable. I'd second that. It's certainly watchable.
It certainly is.
It's certainly watchable. How watchable is this movie for you? What time is it, Scott?
It's always so hard for me without the reference of other films. I think that's going to help me, because now I don't gauge my own gauge. Is it possible to you to tell me, like, what do I have around the six zone?
Totally Killer is 6:30. In the Shadow of the Moon is 5. 57 Seconds is 6. Doctor Who was 6.
All right. I think this film is 5:15.
What? Is Mirage better than this movie?
No.
Mirage is 6:15.
Really?
Remember, it's a 12. It's a 12. It's not a 10. It's a 12.
I know. You know what? It's tough. I'm approaching this. I'm doing these for time travel films. I like this film as a music film. I do not as a time travel. All right, I'll give it 620.
I'll figure all this out. I'll figure out. Well, I won't figure it out. I'll have it ready to put our ratings up. I'll share my screen and I'll throw my ratings up. I'm going to go a little higher than you just because I like this as a movie. You know, again, the time travel. It's, again, like, if I see this before Meet Cute and before Mixtape, I'm probably like, this is really cool and interesting. And I love how they use the music for time travel. But I'm going to give it 730, which is probably, I'm not going to look at my other ratings too close to you because.
You rate higher than me generally anyway.
Yeah. Like, it's so funny. I use an app called Real Good. It's a great thing to search for movies and find out where, that's how I find out where everything is streaming. But then they also have a review section. And like, I've realized I never, so there's don't like, and love. And like means I finished it and I probably won't watch it again. Love means I'll watch it again. So even if it's like a piece of garbage, but I can't wait to just throw it on in the background, I'll love it. such an easy raider.
You know, this movie brings up, there's some good concepts in it. I love the idea that music can take you back. And I would love the idea if they're discussing grief and like the way music can take you back and a brain injury and her going to her psyche and dealing with that. I think it could have been a bigger film because those are really interesting concepts. And like the doctor was like, look, it's crazy, but music can take you back. And it's doing that in your brain because of what happened, the accident, because of your grief. But otherwise, the science is not there.
I mean, you sometimes, when you hear a song, you get a smell, you know?
Well, you froze for me a sec. What's that?
Like sometimes when I'm listening to a song where I have a specific memory, I can smell it, you know? Like it can take you back that far of just like, oh, I was outside or that stinky junior high gym or something like that. It's just like, yeah.
Yeah.
So good. You happy?
Yes.
Well, before we officially sign off, I hope you enjoy this episode. I hope you come back live with us next time. Again, I'll do my best to get out ahead of what we're going to be watching and when we're going to be talking about it, so you guys out there can play along. But certainly, and we will do this, you know, once we get rolling in a couple episodes, we'll definitely just have, we'll do another top, well, I guess we'll probably do a top 40, because I don't know how else we'll have to do it, which is, or maybe we'll do a rewatch or something like that, but something just to Q&A, because you guys can ask us questions, like, since we're just starting this, you know, if you're just like, I wanted to ask them this question about Interstellar for 2 years now, you know, just get on and do it. Don't be like, oh, that's old news. We would love to talk about old stuff. We'll try to set up some episodes where that's what it's all about. But if you join us here live, you can ask us whatever you want. You can ask if you're over under 10 cc's.
Fucking, that's what we really learned today. I don't know why. That's disappointing. I need to know.
Scott needs to know if 10 cc's is a real thing. You know, it depends on, you know, depends on what kind of night I'm having. Has it been a long week or is it just another night?
Yep, you're right.
I'm right.
A volume of semen that was more than average amount.
Oh, more than average amount.
Oh, it was. So a repeated claim from the band. So this is like not a science thing. This is what the band is claiming they can do.
I bet it's when they all jizz into the same container, it's 10 cc's.
And it's not even like misogynistic rock. That should be for like a metal band. That's not for these guys. This is like yacht rock.
It's all right, a whatever. Dreadlock holiday.
All right. That's what we're ending on, guys. That's what we're ending on. You're welcome.
You are welcome. Until next time, I'm Desmond McNeese.
And I'm Scott Lifton. See you in the future, past.
We'll see you later now. You could have been here now.
They're hearing this after.
Now you're there.
Now is now.
Now you're now there.
That was then. This will be hard. Bye.
Bye.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.